scores?
9-9 or 10-10?
Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Wednesday. Wednesday, the 20th of October, 2021. Happy birthday to my father-in-law, first of all. And word on the street is it's in recently Vito, our own Vito Esposito, also recently possibly celebrated a birthday. No info on how old he might be, but it's probably not as young as he sounds. Or as old as he sounds wise. How's that sound? What's that phrase? Life is short, but it's longer than you think. Anyway, you are listening to Hank Jones Polysports here on Global Patriot Radio at blogtalkradio.com. I am Hank Jones, of course. Every Wednesday from 5:30 Eastern time, we talk politics and sports. And, of course, other nights on Global Patriot Radio, other people talk various levels of politics and other stuff. Every Monday, the previously mentioned Vito Esposito, the Vito Esposito Show featuring Big Al every Monday at 6 o'clock Eastern. Every Tuesday, The Cross and the Crescent featuring Eric from Kafiristan at 6 p.m. Eastern. Wednesdays, of course, it's me, Hank Jones, with Hank Jones Poly Sports, 5:30. Thursdays, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report at 6 o'clock Eastern. And then Fridays, you got to check the times, but usually around noon Eastern time, Andrew Herod with Conservative Casual Friday. Saturday nights, Minister Usama Dakduk and the Beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. That one goes from 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern time. Gee, out of having to watch Pac-12 football. Sundays, 3 p.m. Eastern, Eric is back with Real Interfaith Dialogue, part of his Cross and Crescent series. Again, for that one, if you want to partake, you have to download the app and get permission. You can't just come in willy-nilly because of the sleazebags that have tried it in the past. If you want to contact us, hjpsports@gmail.com. I've actually got, you know, I should read a couple of these. I've gotten a couple crackpot emails from people recently. Not terrorists, not threats, just really stupid stuff. One saying, this was like I got when I was out that week before week one of football, somebody had sent something saying Indiana's going to kill the hunk eyes. He didn't say hawk eyes, he said hunk eyes. Didn't know what the hell that was supposed to mean. Anyway, hjpsports1980@gmail.com. You, of course, can log in to listen to the show live. Go to the chat, live chat, look for Global Patriot Radio. On Twitter, at HPolySports. On Facebook, just Hank Jones Polysports. My wife and our little Aussie Shepherd are in the house. And just to let you know, I forgot to update you last week, during our anniversary week together, we started for our 26th year of marriage a concurrent competitive series of backgammon and rummy, gin rummy. Now, normally she wipes the floor with me in gin rummy. Currently, I am leading 1,025 to 960. We're not playing at 5,010. We're just playing for the whole year. Backgammon, I got off to a big lead, but it's now back to 10-10. And for some reason, she's coming in to say something. She was leading for seven of those rounds. Yeah, well, guess what? It doesn't matter. I'm leading now. But we are tied in backgammon. I was winning. I admit it. I was winning, and I choked. Hey, prayers out for Sue, who's had some Sue from New Mexico, whose mom has had some health issues. Annie, who's had some family stuff going on. G-Ski, who's got some health stuff. Pray for all of them. And we'll lift up in prayer anyone else that you think needs it. And as I said, a very happy birthday to my father-in-law. And like I said, I heard Vito celebrated a birthday in recent days. I don't know if that's actually true because I haven't asked him. That's not something you ask a guy when he sort of like gives you the time slot and all that stuff. Okay, let's get to the recent obituaries. General Colin Powell, former Secretary of State, former Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, former National Security Advisor. He passed away Monday at age 84 from complications of COVID-19. Been noted he had also been treated for multiple myeloma, which not only affected his immune system, but also hindered the vaccine effectiveness. He was, unfortunately, often noted for, in recent years, for endorsing Barack Obama in the 2008 and 2012 campaigns, but he technically remained a Republican for most of the remainder of his life. He took heat for presenting, quote, incorrect evidence to the United Nations when he made the case for going to war with Iraq in 2003. In spite of that, he remained consistent in his beliefs that war should always be a last resort, but when it's inevitable, it should be executed with maximum force and resources, spot on. And it's nearly impossible to argue against that. As a man who reached the highest possible military rank other than, you know, president, commander-in-chief, itself. General Powell, he saw combat with two tours in Vietnam. He served as a general in Desert Storm, the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq, two-time recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, also received the Congressional Gold Medal, the Presidential Citizens Medal, and the Secretary of State Distinguished Service Medal. And although he never ran for president, he actually won the 1996 Republican New Hampshire primary on the basis of write-in votes. He also received three electoral votes in 2016 from, quote, faithless electors from Washington State. Again, despite claiming to be a Republican, he supported every Democrat presidential candidate from 2008 onward. He left the Republican Party, becoming an independent after the fake U.S. Capitol riot incident on January 6th. But a good man. Rest in peace, General Powell. Actress Betty Lynn, best known as Thelma Lou, the girlfriend of Deputy Barney Fife on the Andy Griffith Show. Now, she passed away last Saturday, age 95, from an undisclosed illness. I don't think it needs to be disclosed. I'm pretty sure age 95 catches up to you. You know what? Despite her popularity that she gained on the show, she was never officially signed to it by contract. She only appeared in 26 episodes. More ironic than that, though, maybe, is after she retired from acting, she moved to Mount Airy, North Carolina. That is the hometown of the show's namesake, Andy Griffith. And it is thought to be the town on which the show, the fictional town, Mayberry, was based. Last Wednesday, we lost two sports figures. Former Purdue Boilermaker and Denver Bronco running back Otis Armstrong passed away at age 70, cause listed. He was the Big Ten MVP in 1972. At the time his college career ended, he was the all-time rushing leader for both Purdue and the Big Ten. He was then drafted first round, ninth pick by the Broncos in the 1973 draft, played his entire eight-year pro career with them, went to a Super Bowl in the 1977 season. They lost to the Cowboys, but at least he made a Super Bowl. Also Wednesday, former Cleveland Indians and Oakland A's catcher Ray Fosse passed away from cancer at age 74. Now, he had actually announced back in August that he had been battling the disease for 16 years and that he needed to step away from his broadcasting career because of it. Played for the Indians from 1967 to 1972, then again in 1976 and 77. He won two World Series as part of that dominant Oakland A's team in 1973 and 1974. He won Golden Gloves for the 1970 and 1971 seasons. It's probably his most well-known play. It's probably the last play of the 1970 All-Star Game, if you remember, when he was run over by Pete Rose. A lot of people said Rose was taking it too seriously, but Rose was scoring the winning run in the All-Star Game. An initial exam showed no fractures or other damage, but a re-exam later in 1971 showed he had a shoulder separation and a fracture that hadn't healed properly. He actually spent his last couple years with the Seattle Mariners and Milwaukee Brewers. Also last Wednesday, we lost rapper Imani 22. She was born Imani Johnson at the age of 22 following injuries in an undisclosed accident. And then last Friday, we lost guitarist Reg Hargis. Now you're saying, who is guitarist Reg Hargis? Let's see if this... Hear that background? Hear that guitar? Hear that rhythm guitar in there? That's Reg Hargis. He's 70. No cause listed. His biggest project was, of course, this group called Brick. He was a co-founder. Their biggest hit, this one playing, was called Dazz, for its combining of music from both the disco and jazz genres. Came a huge hit in 1976. Interestingly enough, literally, they called it Dazz because the two groups that came together, one had focused primarily on disco and the other on jazz. But great tune though, and rest in peace, Reg Hargis. Reg Hargis at the age of 70, guitarist for Brick and their mega hit Dazz. I dug this song when I was like in 8th grade. I'm kind of rocking out right now, actually. I'm doing my own little stupid dance right now. Okay, enough of that. Enough of my dancing. Sad, though, when a legend, you know, not saying he was a legend, but when, you know, he was part of a legendary song, you know, and it was coming on right as the disco era was really taking hold and all that stuff. So let's get to some politics and or sports news. The first one, Washington State head coach Nick Rolovich is out. And so there are several of his assistants. Originally it was kind of up in the air, but now it's basically they're out as well. Why? Not for losing. They're on a 3-game winning streak after last Saturday's comeback win over Stanford. Did he write emails? Nope. Unprofessional conduct with a co-ed? Also a negative. DUI? Nope. The reason? Not complying with the state of Washington's vaccine mandate. He applied for exemptions, but no exemption was forthcoming. Oh, and it should be noted that he is considered the state's highest paid employee with a salary of $3 million per year. Guarantee you that's not coming from the general fund. Here's a statement from the chair of Washington State's Board of Regents that should pretty much chill everyone right to the frigging core. Says, experience is showing that vax mandates help motivate people to complete the vaccine process. Let me read that again. Experience is showing that vaccine mandates help motivate people to complete the vaccine process. Good God, you could not make that any more convincing or scary if you edited it directly into Mein Kampf or the Communist Manifesto. That one sentence is as scary as anything I have read in the last year or two. Brother Tommy, if he were listening, he would understand this description. Haunting. Haunting. I'm going to rant on this later, naturally, because really it's just really bad. That kind of language to see that. So La Dopey Nostra front boss, Dopey Joe, and his wife, Dr. Jill, Now, they dined out the other night at D.C.'s Fiola Mare restaurant. Yeah, it's one of those Tony upscale Italian eatery places that, as Yahoo News noted, caters not only to well-heeled politicians and celebrities, but also their bodyguards and other members of their staff. So you would think it would be a hit piece, since it was noted that they were not wearing masks per the District of Columbia mandate requiring them to wear masks, except when in the actual act of eating or drinking, right? You'd expect it to be a hit piece, right? Well, of course, you'd be very wrong. Not only was this not a hit piece, it was an actual glorification of the front boss and his wife for dining out on several occasions, one of those stops being with alleged Vice President Kamala Harris and her white husband, and also for choosing to patronize local businesses for takeout orders. Yeah, one of those stops at a place called Taqueria Las Camelas included Dopey Joe's pronouncement that the place was the first to be approved in the Restaurant Revitalization Fund. You remember that fund? It was part of one of the numerous COVID-19-related stimulus bills. Ended up distributing funds to 101,000 out of over 287,000 eligible food and beverage providers. Yeah, these two particular sentences from the article summed up the whole thing. It's a quote from the article's La Dopey Nostra plant. Her name is Ruth Tam of the Food City podcast. Here's what she said. Seeing the Bidens and Harrises out is a sign that, yes, nature is healing. There are different ways to find this reassuring, whether it's a vote of confidence in small businesses, or because they're eating out at all, or because they're simply not Trump. Okay, let's clear up a few things. First, the fact that the front boss and his one-time gumata went maskless is not only ignored, it's excused, probably even glorified. This isn't the first time, of course, that media has covered for the La Dopey Nostra or the front boss. Blatant abuse of a mandate in the face of shaming everyone else. Frankly, to me, that's borderline unconscionable. Secondly, actually glorifying their trip because they're showing us things are okay is disingenuous as hell. Things have actually been calmed down on the COVID front for months. Yes, yes, there have been surges in the numbers of cases. There have occasionally been surges in the number of deaths. But the survivability of COVID hasn't changed. Increased knowledge of various avoidance strategies has also lessened the severity, safe hygiene practices, effective treatments, medicines. And the fact that it simply isn't as severe as it was initially reported, all that is ignored in the quest to subdue and control the greater population of the country, hell, even the planet. Thirdly, turning dining excursions into photo ops and campaign boosters, while it's certainly not unheard of, gets pretty lame when it's done on a local dining excursion. And millions of other small or independent businesses around the country are severely hurting or have actually closed. That's bad enough. But to do so touting government grant or loan programs a year after, a lot of these programs didn't help many businesses anyway because of continued lockdowns or shutdowns, that's akin to the NCAA when they take wins away from a team like a year or more after the contest. You know, like when they took away USC wins, or they take away Iowa was a beneficiary of this years ago. They took away a win from UCLA. Well, yeah, it changed the record on paper, but look, it allows a team to claim a win, but it's not. The damage is done. The fan base is demoralized. The team lost. Well, the same thing here. I mean, they're going out and making this pronouncement. So many businesses have already closed. I mean, I'm sorry. These people are idiots. The messages they send and how stupidly they send them, and it's beyond understanding. Okay, it looks like, according to numerous sources, although it's now kind of official, there is an agreement in place for LSU head coach Ed Orgeron to finish out this season and then, quote, retire gracefully at season's end. This actually comes on the heels of last weekend's win over Florida and less than 2 years after an undefeated season and a college football playoff national championship. Number one in the rumor mill is Jimbo Fisher, of course. He's the current head coach at Texas A&M. He was formerly an assistant at LSU. His former AD at A&M, Scott Woodward, is now back at LSU as the AD. Fisher was an assistant, as I said, at LSU under Nick Saban. Beyond that, other names, Matt Campbell from Iowa State, Dave Clawson of Wake Forest, Southern Methodist Sonny Dykes, and believe it or not, Kentucky's Mark Stoops. I guess an outside shot would be UCF's Gus Malzahn, and he might be very interested after seeing such a drop-off at UCF caused by, you know, the loss of quarterback Dylan Gabriel, had a season-ending injury. Basically, all the names you are hearing from USC are now in the mix for LSU, with a few additions for geography maybe and history within the SEC. Another name that I just saw tossed out, believe it or not, was Dabo Swinney from Clemson. That shocked me. I see no reason why he would leave Clemson now. I mean, they're just stupid. But anyway, so that's we'll start hearing about the LSU sweepstakes. John Stewart, you know, the obnoxious John Stewart, the guy that thinks he's really funny. Now, he's actually done stuff over the years. He did that very heartfelt plea before Congress on behalf of 9/11 first responders a year or two ago. And you got to give him credit for that. He went on and advocated. He appeared on Jake Tapper's show the other day on CNN. He said something that's going to shock both liberals and conservatives. Essentially, he said mainstream media's continued bashing of Donald Trump is both wrong and misplaced. Yeah, he pointed out that Trump is far from the first person that's ever been polarizing and that he isn't the one causing the divisiveness and dysfunction that's present in our government. He also alluded to the fact that Donald Trump is far from being the first person to have an ego trip or thirst for power and publicity. So, yeah, you can get shocked every day. And last week, John Stewart went on CNN and actually said, this is misplaced and wrong, the way the mainstream media continues to go after Donald Trump. Now, I'll tell you something. Donald Trump did say something. He said a couple things. He went after Colin Powell a little bit, which, I don't know, take it or leave it. But he also made the statement that maybe Republicans should sit this election out. And Herschel Walker, who was a supporter of Trump and whom Trump supports in his quest for a Senate seat in Georgia, Herschel Walker came forth and said, man, that's the wrong message. We need turnout like you wouldn't believe. We need everybody to turn out. We also need to flip people. But to tell people to sit home is no, there's no way we'll win under that scenario. So, yeah, Donald Trump is still a player, still polarizing a bit. But ESPN college basketball analyst Dick Dookie V. Vitale, he's disclosed a cancer diagnosis for the second time this year. Monday, he announced that he has been diagnosed with lymphoma. Back in August, he had announced that he had undergone multiple procedures for melanoma. Vitale also said he's been told by doctors that the two diagnoses are unrelated. Now, Vitale's 82. He joined ESPN right in the early stages. His current contract with ESPN runs through this year's college basketball season. He has, as most know, he's been a huge supporter of the Jim Valvano V Foundation for Cancer Research, which was started by the late Jim Valvano. Remember, this foundation received great visibility when Valvano made that very, very impassioned speech at the ESPY Awards not long before he died. Yeah, he and Dick Vitale were good friends, and Dick Vitale has continued to bring visibility and awareness both to cancer and to that foundation. Let's hope he can survive this. Look, love him or hate him, and the fact a lot of people call him Dookie V is kind of, you know, it's not used by big fans of Dick Vitale, but he's great for college basketball. He loves the game. He's a cheerleader for it. He has great insight. His knowledge of the game can't be denied, and despite his love for all things ACC, he really is a champion for the game and the players across the country. So prayers up for Dick Vitale. Let's hope this off, and let's hope we hear him on the airwaves this college basketball season. Welcome a couple folks in the phones. Just recognize a couple numbers, Brother Tommy and T. Bodie. In the chat room, Indy Hawk's in here all by his lonesome. So, folks, you ought to get in here, into the chat room, to banter with Indy Hawk. Now, next up, La Dopey Nostra, Undersecretary of Health, Dr. Rachel Levine. She has become our nation's first transgender four-star officer. Rachel Levine was sworn in yesterday as an admiral, the highest-ranking official of the U.S. Public Health Commissioned Corps. Its 6,000 uniformed officers are entrusted with protecting the nation's public health. Levine's appointment also made her the organization's first female four-star officer. So Rachel Levine is either a female or a transgender officer. It can't be both. Folks, I'm going to tell you why this is so repulsive. No, it's not that Rachel Levine is transgender. It's that Rachel Levine is grotesque. It, I lack the capacity to say she or even he, it looks like a caricature from the old Benny Hill show. Remember where the little old bald guy with glasses, they'd sometimes dress him up as a little girl for some of the skits? Rachel Levine looks like an old man dressed as a little girl. And the only thing missing most of the time is pigtails and a giant lollipop. Seriously, I mean, it's like whatever it was before it became Rachel wasn't quite ready to give up its former male self. Now, here it was the statement it made upon its being sworn in. This is a momentous occasion, and I am honored to take this role for the impact I can make and for the historic nature of what it symbolizes. I stand on the shoulders of those LGBTQ plus individuals who came before me, both those known and unknown. May this appointment today be the first of many more to come as we create a diverse and more inclusive future. Now, Levine cites its pride in following its father, who served in the United States Air Force during World War II, along with other veterans in its family. Levine itself has no prior military service record. And frankly, I question the fact checkers who cite its father serving in the Air Force in World War II. The Air Force wasn't founded until 1947, just as an FYI. I know there was the Army Air Corps. But yeah, that's a detail. That's a sloppy detail that's missed. But perhaps more intriguing, its profile on its Wikipedia page already features Levine in full uniform. And it still looks like the little old bald guy from the Benny Hill show dressed up in a military officer's uniform with long hair. Now look, all that ranting aside, which makes me seem transphobic, it's not a transphobia thing here. Yes, it's weird to look at Dr. Levine. But this whole thing is predicated on its being the first transgender and or female four-star officer. Nothing about Dr. Levine's credentials as a physician. In fact, I don't know that we've ever heard any of that. It's simply for the optics of saying we have a transgender officer. Now look, in one sense, kudos to Dr. Levine for willing to be the first, if you want to call it that. But I mean, if we're really now, we're in our military, we're naming appointments based on identity politics and or just identity and not on merit. I mean, Colin Powell, one of the things Colin Powell advocated for, and one of the reasons he supported Barack Obama, was he thought that there still needed to be a certain affirmative action programs. Well, this almost tells us that everything is affirmative action. Nothing is based on merit. It's literally based on the fact that Dr. Levine is trans and or a woman. Google Rachel Levine. Email me, hjpsports1980@gmail.com. Google her, it, him, whatever. And then email me and tell me that that doesn't look like, if you watched the old Benny Hill show, tell me that doesn't look like someone in a Benny Hill skit. Seriously. I mean, someone in my office the other day, we were talking about it and said, you know, if you're going to do that, you usually come from a place of beauty or aesthetics. She said, this one, not quite. That's exactly right. I mean, it's one thing. I don't know. I guess it seems to me that it's making a joke of the whole process in and of itself. And I just, I don't know. We're in trouble, of course, but whatever. Speaking of transgenders, Texas Governor Greg Abbott is expected to sign a bill passed by that state's legislature that bans transgender students in Texas public schools K through 12 from competing in a league designated for a gender other than the one on the student's birth certificates. In plain language, a boy who identifies as a girl, even to the point of wearing a skirt, makeup, pigtails, whatever, okay, even a man bun, cannot compete as a girl if his birth certificate identifies the student as a male. I would point out that it works both ways, except for the fact that there are no known instances of a female-to-male transgender seeking to compete as a male. Now, predictably, Democrats in the state called it an attack on transgender students that will promote bullying. Republicans countered that it protects daughters and granddaughters who want equitable competition in a sport they love. Look, one Democrat in particular said the bill tries to solve a problem that doesn't exist and that there are no known instances of a boy transgender taking a competitive spot from a female student. Now, look, either someone neglected to point out several cases in Connecticut, or this Democrat leader is just lying, or just, let's charitably say, being disingenuous. Selena Sewell, remember her, former Connecticut high school sprinter? She missed out by one spot, making the state finals in the 55-meter dash, and two spots making the New England regional in the same event. Want to know who the top two spots were? Boys. Not hormonally or surgically altered boy girls, boys. Yes, they put on skirts. One wore a wig, but they were boys. Now, Selena Sewell now runs track for Florida Atlantic University. In Florida, earlier this year, they passed the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. Of course, Big Left challenged it. Worse, Selena Sewell has actually faced backlash and retaliation from media, schools, and even some coaches. But in this case, it really is worth examining. Believe it or not, women, as well as many men, fought hard for Title IX, which in essence provides for equitable competition in sports. No, it's not perfect, never has been perfect, will continue to result in things like schools canceling certain sports teams because of the provisions. Former Iowa wrestling coach Dan Gable was vigilant in his opposition to Title IX because he saw schools, former opponents. His opponent pool shrank because of it, because some schools canceled their wrestling programs. But it's here. Nobody can deny that women's sports have benefited because of Title IX. So again, I ask those in Big Left, why is it so important to have transgenders compete as opposite of the gender they were born? Why? I have no doubt Big Left will go judge shopping in response to this latest Texas law. Frankly, the ennui, that's boredom, for lack of a better word, the ennui from certain groups that are taking up the cause for female athletes has me worried. They love the spotlight, it seems like. But when they're asked to weigh in on shows such as ours, they don't see a big enough spotlight, evidently, so they don't seem to feel it's important to engage. And again, though, even worse, some of the biggest hindrances to this, to protecting these female athletes, are some of the female athletes themselves. You remember Martina Navratilova, who spoke out in support of female athletes? She got vilified. But worse, Megan Rapinoe, among others, has spoken out on behalf of transgender athletes. Now, Steve Dace on this show a couple years ago, he said it best. One thing that is sorely needed is, one, some kind of standard, hormonal, chromosomal, whatever. But the bigger need, the real need, the true need, is the American people. Unless and until we demand certain standards, guess what? Big Left, by virtue of two things, their lust for power and control, and they're constantly being active. They can't keep their mitts out of anything. They'll continue to try and dictate the standards. Well, here's a good one. You're going to love this. Or maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. In the wake of John Gruden resigning from the Raiders last week over these emails, Raiders quarterback Derek Carr has an idea. Now, I'll preface the story with this. It's a really crappy idea, Anyway, here's what Derek Carr thinks. Derek Carr thinks what the NFL needs to do is make all personal emails public. Nope, I shouldn't say that. Not all emails, just the emails for coaches, owners, and general managers. Oh, and here was Carr's comment about Gruden's resignation. I love the man, you hate the sin. No one's perfect. Yeah, no one's perfect, including your stupid idea, Derek Carr. Seriously, make all emails public, but again, not all. Not players, not cheerleaders, not agents, not lawyers, not the NFL Players Association or its leadership. What a tool. But I'll tell you what, he gets a song played for him this week, so there's that. That song tells you that Derek Carr has earned this week's Comrade of the Week award from all of us here at Hank Jones Polysports. Yeah, and for the record, it wasn't even close. No, it was not. Okay, I normally don't pump up Meghan McCain, at least not on the basis of her her on-screen or her in-print musings. I mean, even, you know, even her most recent about Trump, you know, just leave it alone about Trump's comments about Colin Powell. But I readily admit even that I have, as recently as in the past month, I've responded to a tweet or two of hers, letting her know that she played no small part in Dopey Joe being handed the fake election results. But she did. She absolutely nailed it recently in an article for the Daily Mail, where she calls out Katie Couric for manipulative editing to hide unwanted or contrary statements from liberals or progressives that might derail, quote, the cause. Here it is. I'm going to read a little bit of it because she really, I got to say, she really does. She hits it good here. She says, Katie Couric is the poster girl for America's hypocritical, biased mainstream media who will even censor a feminist icon like Ruth Bader Ginsburg if she dares question their liberal beliefs. Now, basically, let me paraphrase it. She says she's going to be 37 in a week. Says all women should learn. She's come to realize that sexism in the workforce is alive and well, thriving, but in her experience, some of the worst offenders are women. She talks about Katie Couric's book. Katie Couric did two things. One, she said every new revelation gets weirder and grosser than the last. Let's start with her admission that she felt threatened by Ashley Banfield, someone I know and can say has never been anything short of lovely and kind to me and has that reputation in the industry. She also admitted to ostensibly derailing her career because she was threatened by, in her words, someone younger and cuter around the corner. Now, she said, even if this is something she felt and acted on, even if it's something she felt and acted on, it's just creepy, as she put it. It actually hurts her heart to think of Ashley Banfield getting put, that she could be on network television today if not for Katie Couric. Now, she goes on to say, but the worst of her sins, or that's not the worst of her sins, contemptible as it is. Now, she says, now I have an admission. I don't like Katie Couric. I haven't liked Katie Couric since she interviewed Sarah Palin. I know the backstory, and I lived in real time the process of what has now become one of the more notorious train wreck interviews in political history. Did Sarah Palin perform her best? Of course not. Yeah, and Meghan has not exactly been kind to Sarah Palin either. So, but she was being interviewed by an infamous mean girl who has now admitted to leaving out a damaging part of an interview with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, where the former Supreme Court justice and left-wing icon admits to not liking those who kneel before rather than salute our American flag. And she says, if we now know for a fact that if Katie Couric edited her interviews to make famous liberals look good, one can only imagine and speculate about what she might possibly have done to make conservatives look bad. One of my favorite adages is, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they aren't after you. And this particular admission hit me like a slap in the face. Now, that's a little much, but she's, as she points out, mainstream media is already biased, hostile, and awful to conservatives, both for those who appear in it and for those who read and watch it, who are constantly gaslit into feeling bad about their perfectly decent beliefs. Like she says, if you're hesitant about the vaccine, you're selfish, superstitious redneck who doesn't care about who you kill. Now, again, that's one of the things I've gone after her for, Meghan McCain, on Twitter, because she has tweeted stuff about how come people aren't getting the vaccine. Now she's suddenly, you know, then she put another thing she says, if you don't want your children taught critical race theory in school, you are a domestic terrorist. That's true. She's right. That's the way they characterize you. But she's right here. She said she did it to make Ruth Bader Ginsburg look better in the eyes of liberals. Now, Couric has come out and said, yeah, she edited certain stuff, but she didn't always have control over it. Huh? You're the interviewer. You have ultimate control over it. Here's what she said. It likes to think, she talks about mainstream media, Meghan McCain does, it likes to think it is morally superior, but in reality is a mean, selfish, and distorting, and it accuses the right wing of things that just aren't there. And she said, and Katie Couric should be its patron saint. So there. Something good from Meghan McCain. Another really good article popped up in Nation HQ regarding an act of insurrection last week. It's titled, There Was an Insurrection Last Week and No One Noticed. Basically what happened, a horde of climate Nazis gathered at the Interior Department, called their demonstration Build Back Fossil Free, which is a take on Dopey Joe's Build Back Better insanity that one, builds nothing, and two, leaves nothing better than it was previously. Anyway, this article points out that what these people did is almost exactly what happened at the Capitol on January 6th. There were injuries to security personnel, some of whom were transported to medical facilities for treatment. And the last two short paragraphs in this article sum it up perfectly, both in terms of the hypocrisy of La Dopey Nostra and of the hypocrisy of the legacy media in this country. Here are the last two small paragraphs. Oh, they were advocating for Biden's climate agenda, were they? Does that mean Biden incited the resurrection? Perhaps an October 14th commission should be established, and Joe Biden's supporters should be locked up without trial. But no, none of that will happen. Chances are good that most people don't even know about the mob that broke into the Department of Interior, or that people were hurt in the name of Biden's climate agenda. This mob will not be criticized as an attack on our democracy. Brilliance. Absolute brilliance. Original article was done by a gentleman named Matt Margolis at PJ Media. Yeah, and like I said, it's brilliant. Look it up. It's on Nation HQ, or go to PJ Media and look up Matt Margolis articles, M-A-R-G-O-L-I-S. Because he's right. There was basically a riot, not as many people. But at one point they got inside the lobby and they sat in a circle and held hands. It was all about the build back fossil free. I mean, seriously, come on. I mean, the fact it didn't get covered is obviously the bigger part of it. But how is it? I mean, how long are we going to put up with this, people? How long are we going to put up with riots in Portland being called democracy and anything conservative, any calls for election reform or calls for election audits is insurrection? I mean, how long are we going to put up with that? How long are we going to put up with being mischaracterized as transphobic, racist, evil, uncaring? I mean, what the hell? Okay, so Dopey Joe has told the progressive wing of La Dopey Nostra, a.k.a. the SS or Murder Incorporated, if you're talking in mafia terms or Nazi terms, now he's told them to scale back the $3.5 trillion budget package. Word is that they are trying to scale it back to a range of $1.75 to $1.9 trillion. Now look, while on the surface that sounds like a move towards sanity, consider what would still be in it. First, about $500 billion toward climate change. Folks, that's more than 25%. Extending the child tax credit as well as new subsidies for child care, new health care subsidies, tax increases on the wealthy. And again, who determines what is wealthy? What's out? Free community college, pathway to citizenship for illegals, and the original, the gargantuan version of the clean energy plan, a much more scaled up version of the $500 billion. Here's one major concern for them. Dopey Joe heads to a climate summit next month. And Big Left is worried that the U.S. will come off as having poor leadership on climate change and social justice. Yeah, gee, with all that money that the rest of the world spends on climate change. Yeah, oh, well, that's right. The world doesn't spend money on climate change. We do. We just funnel it to everyone else. We funnel it to people who pretend to care about it. Absolutely disgusting. But think about this. I mean, they said they had to have this $3.5 trillion package. They're literally, I mean, if it comes off in the $1.75 trillion, they literally cut it in half. What does that tell you? They could literally cut it in half. Mind-boggling when you think about it that they were willing to do the $3.5 trillion package, absent anyone who opposed it. I mean, the idiocy of both Dopey Joe and Umgen Umsaki saying doesn't cost. I mean, that's right straight to lunatic heaven there, or lunatic hell. But think about that. I mean, can you imagine if they had all the money right now to pay down the national debt, and it would not have any? I mean, like the money just dropped out of a spaceship. I know it sounds like city slickers, but. Then a spaceship comes down. No, but money drops out of a spaceship, we'll pay off the national debt, and the decision was made, only pay off half of it, and then just blow the rest on whatever. I mean, that's what it sounds. I mean, literally, they could cut in half their original proposal and lament that it's not enough for climate change. Good God. Okay, I said I was going to rant a little bit on Nick Rolovich. Okay, first of all, if it was so important, why did they allow him to coach half the season? And why not, instead of vaccination, why not allow him to simply test weekly or whenever? What happens to other coaches that didn't vax? Well, it sounds like they're all fired. Does Washington State even care that this could well destroy the season for its team? By the way, Nick Rolovich was escorted out by security, was not allowed to address the team. He is suing, as I mentioned. He's suing on a couple things. One, he says as a Catholic, he's been vilified by his athletic director. He also was vilified when they went to some summit conference thing, some of the athletic department people. The athletic director got COVID and Nick Rolovich did not. Now, in light of... Again, in light of reduced cases and deaths, why are they still pushing vaccination? Now, I'll answer that via the response that I read to you earlier from the chair of the Washington State Board of Regents. That vaccination mandates speed along the vaccination process. As I said, and Brother Tommy missed it at the time, that's haunting. This has nothing to do with safety. This has nothing to do with health. Frankly, this has nothing to do with science because all the science thus far has not added up. What it is, pure and simple, is control, power, and manipulation. That's it. Look, that one adult could look another in the eye and shame him or her over getting a shot of a vaccine that has had mixed results, it's nothing short of evil. Now, look, I know people that have had it. I don't make light of COVID itself, but man, this is an unproven vaccine. It's had very mixed results. The fact that they're pushing for it is just when COVID itself has survived 99.7% survivability. That should frighten us. And as Brother Tommy would admit, that is haunting. Okay, we're going to take a break, then we're coming back with our crew and our college football forum. Yeah, in light of last week's Hawkeye game, you can bet that there's going to be some stuff. Hawkeye Mike's not going to be able to join us, but hopefully Indy Hawk, who's in the chat room, will be dialing in. I see T. Bodie and Brother Tommy. So we're going to give you a little bit of seasonal Great Pumpkin Waltz and then come back with our College Football Forum. Be right back. Tommy is in the house. We are going to talk football. Are you ready to talk?
I am.
All right. And we've got T. Bodie in the house also. Seeing his, he's hit his one. You ready to talk a little football?
No, but I'm here.
Okay. Well, like I said in our text, today is about vent and purge.
Yeah. Okay. I need to purge.
Indy, you there?
Yeah, and you also said in the vent you're going to be muting Brother Tommy.
Indy, are you there?
I'm going to be.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no,
I'm going to
okay.
be
yeah,
on
I'm
the
here.
Behavior, but yeah, I
okay.
talked to about three people about calling in tonight, and they're like, "Don't do it, don't do it, Tommy. You're going to go off. You're going to fucking go off, or because of the." Results of the Iowa game. But go ahead, take the floor.
Okay, so Mike is not able to call in. Just to update folks on the rankings, the Hawkeyes lost last Saturday, and they dropped to number 11 from number 2. On the heels of that, Purdue also got into the rankings at number 25. At least in the AP poll, they did not make it into the coaches poll, believe it or not. Not sure what the coaches didn't see, but whatever.
They saw that I was a fraud, what they saw. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to start with Indy. What surprises from last week? Any other than our game?
I'm still on our game, but, yeah, it was very disappointing.
Yeah, I guess stay on our game. Let's stay on our game, yeah.
Yeah.
The smart move. I can't think beyond it.
What
really
surprised
surprising that we let one guy beat us like that.
Mm-hmm.
3 years in a row.
Yep. Brother Tommy, you're one surprise.
There's no surprises. I'm like, I think it was Indy Hawk. I don't know if it's Indy Hawk or T. Bodie, but I'm the same way. I can't even think straight because of the loss. My most disgusting loss in sports that I've been following. So, yeah, whoever just said it, I think it was Indy Hawk. I just can't think straight, truth be told. I think it was disgusting. Florida loses in Baton Rouge, where my kids go, that's acceptable. You lose on the road. Hey, we get it. You lose on the road. But you don't lose at home as a number two team in the nation. Playing a team that's not even ranked, you don't do it. So I'm kind of like the predecessor or the caller earlier that just said he just didn't even want to talk about anything else. I'm totally on that page.
And T. Bodie, what was your biggest shock?
That we got out-coached.
Yep.
Oh,
you know,
that's the perfect way to put it.
That other teams, the players misperformed and didn't execute. But the bottom line is, you know, we called them out and something, calmed them down, and done something.
Yeah.
Should've called better play.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't any one, you know, unit. I mean, the defensive line didn't get pressure. The back seven was, you know, confused at times. I thought. The play calling, we wasted several breaks. I mean, we had that, you know, we had that one return by Charlie Jones. We had a couple of, we had that, gosh, the gift. When we thought we were going to go down 24-7 the first time, and they fumbled it, and it was a touchback. And we you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just, I guess that's the best way to say it, that we got out-coached. I mean, it was like no one unit or one coach of any of those units seemed to give a crap at all about what was happening. I mean, it was just
that, you know, that's a great analysis. He's absolutely right. Brahm and his crew just totally, that's the perfect way to put it. Totally outcoached us. But
yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I told you that's why I didn't want to call.
Okay,
I knew
now,
I'd get, emotional.
No. So let's go with it. Let's just go with it. We're venting and purging. So we'll start, Tommy, with this one with you. What one unit disappointed you the most?
Offensive line.
Okay. Why?
That is a you.
Because now I've changed. I've done a 180 on. You told me specifically not to call out names. So on running backs that can't get holes, and they can't get holes, and I finally decided. Yes, our offensive scheme, I mean, if you ask me what disappointed me the most, it's the offensive coordinator and the coaches. But what? My wife's trying to grab my ass. But no, you can't get holes, you can't run, and yeah, that would be my thing.
T. Bodie, one unit, most disappointing.
You know what? First, I'm going to make my pick for next week. I'm going to take BYE versus Iowa.
I don't even get that joke. What did that mean? I don't even get it.
Bye.
BYE.
He's taking BYE.
Oh, bye. Yeah. See, that's how cynical I've become, too. Yeah. Good. I'm sorry.
It was a good one.
Maybe I just said IDLE.
I just can't hear on this stupid phone I have. You said BYE. Okay, go on. I'm sorry. I thought you said
something else. So what unit, though? What unit disappointed you the most?
You know what? I was down with our defense. I mean, I think that our offensive line got blown away too.
Yeah, Indy, how about you? The one unit that you that was most disappointing.
I'll give you two, the right side of the offensive line, and then the defensive secondary, where we don't, you know, we don't have speed back there, but when we have you can't play man-to-man against David Bell. I think we've proven that over 3 years, but I think our speed back at the safety position, we kind of talked about this a little bit, Hank, you disagree a little bit, but a lot of teams play, you know, single safety, you know, one safety back, come sideline to sideline, and then you take all that underneath stuff and you got everybody else focused on that. We can't do that. I mean, there were several times. I know Corner's a good player, but he's just not speedy enough to be able to do that. So I don't know. That was really disappointed to see. You know, even we were talking about it before the game. Is David Bell going to beat us again? I mean, certainly you have 3 years to prepare for that. And before that even, it probably goes back 4 or 5 years because you had Rondale Moore there before. Do you remember that guy?
And that other guy, the Mungongo or whatever, that toasted us that 1 year. Remember we were up at halftime and they came out and like threw 2 or 3 touchdowns to this guy before they finally put Josh Jackson on him, you know? I mean, all the answers are right. I mean, I think really it starts – John Miller talked about it on his podcast and others have talked about it as well. It really starts in the trenches for Iowa. You can blame our secretary or our secondary or even our back seven if you want to do it that way. But really, the defense – they're on an island after a while. So the defensive line gets no pressure. I mean, you had 3 quarterbacks that had success against our defensive line, you know? I mean, and then on the offensive side, you can gripe, but you know what? I mean, Spencer Petras didn't have enough time, and you can say, well, our wide receivers aren't getting open. Well, it doesn't matter if Spencer Petras has no time. It's just, you know, it's as simple as that. I also don't understand this, and this goes to the coaching angle, I guess I would say. You know, we would have a successful run, outside run play. Now, I know you don't want to run the same play 3 times in a row, although that's Iowa fans do know that occasionally happens. But why do we then immediately after that decide that we've got to go between the tackles again? I mean, if it's working outside, don't necessarily think it's suddenly going to work inside. I mean, we know that our interior right now is just not up to speed. So, I mean, I just don't understand that. I don't understand why we didn't mix things up. I think that's going to be
To echo a previous sentiment, Hank, you know the line in Deliverance, it's only the biggest fucking river in the state. Previous sentiment about David Bell, it's like, you're not prepared for him? He has destroyed you 2 years in a row.
He's only the best receiver we've faced the last 4 years.
And you don't have a plan for him? You don't have a plan for him? Oh, so when you said unit, I mean, if by unit, coaches are included, this is the first time in a very long time I'll get done on Phil Parker. He was not prepared. He's our defensive coordinator. He was not prepared. And I just don't know how you can have a guy that torches you up 2 years in a row, and now in year 3, he torches you again on your home field when you're number 2 in the country. I just don't get that, and I'm sorry.
You can make some of the excuses. You know, Purdue came, you know, had 2 weeks to
prepare.
You can make those excuses. I'm not saying they're valid, but, Purdue had 2 weeks to prepare. Hawkeyes were coming off a big, huge emotional game and all that stuff. But, I mean, Indy mentions it with the secondary. I mean, it wasn't working. It's like we never gave any. I mean,
oh, that was a good point too. Very good point.
There was no over the top safety help. It seemed like, but then on top of that, our corners were taking every wrong angle. It seemed like. I mean, I just don't mix it up.
Hey,
mix
Hank,
it up. Run more stunts or something. Yeah, who's it?
Hey Hank, I think we got Brother Rich, who's been at the last couple games there in Iowa City, to give a first hand account. I don't know if he pushed one, but maybe he can come on. And
he did. Let's get him on. Rich, what's up, man? Rich, you there?
Who the hell's
Rich? Oh, hey, guys. Sorry about that. I was on mute. My bad. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
Hey,
so, so you've been there for the last couple games. What was the difference between...
I have season tickets, and I was smart enough to sell that game to my brother, so I didn't go to this Purdue game. But, yeah, I watched it in Okoboji at my place there, and it was obviously very disappointing, but kind of the same old story, it seems like, when we play Purdue.
So, Norm, I'm going to ask you this, because various places, when you go to Florida, everybody and their son and their cousin sold land to Disney. You know, everybody in retrospect sold land to Disney. So are you starting a new trend? Everybody that's going to say, oh, I sold my tickets for the Purdue game. How many people are going to say they were not at the Purdue game?
I can't say. Maybe I'll take blame because I wasn't there, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, that's probably the only game
play.
I'm not going to go to. I plan on going to every game. I was there at Penn State game. That was amazing, but this was a big disappointment, obviously.
So head down the night before, or do you just drive down game day, or for the most part?
Well, I live 3.5 hours away, and those 2:30 games are really good because, like, you know, 11 o'clock games are brutal. But
yeah,
I
sure.
actually have a friend. I stay in Des Moines at a friend's place, so cutting it down to 2-hour drive, which works out pretty well.
Okay.
The scenes I've seen, that looks like an absolute beautiful area, lake area.
Oh, yeah, Okoboji is amazing. I've been going up there all my life, so it's a great place to be, that's for sure. My two favorite places in life are Iowa football, Kinnick, and Okoboji, so I got them both covered.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. If I ever have I'm going to definitely get up there. It's beautiful.
So where's the good drinking spots pre- or post-game now? I mean, it's certainly changed since our time in Iowa City.
Geez, you know, this year, my daughter just went to school there this year. She's a freshman, so that's why I got tickets again. I had a few years off where I didn't go, but so this year I go with a friend, and she doesn't. We usually head back to Des Moines, so I haven't really done a whole lot of partying other than the tailgates.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. So, okay. Well, we're going to move
as far as the bars go. I mean, I hit them all downtown, you know, anyone you can hit. So.
Yeah, okay. So, okay, guys, next up, this is you don't have to vent here. You can just sort of and we'll put Norm into the rotation. So, and this is not Norm Parker, folks, for Hawkeye fans, just so you know.
He's dead,
T-Bodie, you're number one on this one. In light of the idle week, and even though you're betting against us, what are you watching this week? Are you watching football, or are you going to just take a week off?
You know what? We're garage sailing this week. We're having a garage sale. However, there is the only game of interest that has me intrigued is Wisconsin and Purdue.
Yep.
Just because. The other ones are.
We actually have to care about that game this week now.
Yeah, well,
have to care. Indy, how about you? You watching football, or are you just taking the week off?
I think I'm going to lay low. We've got some friends that own horses, so we're going to go down there and spend some time with them. They're going to get together. So I may buy a horse and try horse racing, kind of done with football.
You think you can make weight as a jockey, or are you just looking on the betting side?
I'm the guy. Well, I'm a little big to be the jockey, but
okay,
I told them
I
can cut
weight. Okay,
and I'm the guy that goes out before and looks for who drops a deuce, and then I bet on that. That's my experience.
Norm, how about you? You gonna take the week off, go up to Okoboji, or are you gonna visit your daughter?
I'm gonna head down to San Antonio, believe it or not. So I probably won't be watching football. I'm always up for, if you guys have a good bet for me to make, I'm always up for doing that any weekend. So I'll have to catch up with you guys more frequently.
Hey, absolutely. Brother Tommy, how about you?
I'm on the camp of take a week off. I just my boys, as I've said, go to University of Florida. I don't even know who they're playing. I have taken football out of my mind, and I'm taking a week off.
probably a month. Who knows? Maybe even a year. I'm just, yeah, I don't have the mental. The mental fragility right now is just so awful that, no, I will not be watching college football this weekend. I can assure you of that. And I got no other plans.
Okay, so next question, only two of you are going to answer. Indy, you're first up. If you were deciding, how is this off week spent in Iowa City? You're the head man. What should they be doing this week?
10 hours a day watching game film.
You know what? That's a fabulous answer. And I can give you, if I'm one of the guys, answer. I got to follow up
to
that.
Yeah, you got to use this, drive it home, and just it has to stop. This is Hawkeye football. Not going to stand.
Well, Brother Tommy, you're up next.
Yeah, oh, good. Here again, total sentiment echoing. I talked to my buddy last night who was mentioned it before, played Division I, played at University of Illinois, high school All-American, and he told me exactly what the previous caller just – or responder just said. He said they are going to be forced to watch – he told me not to get down on the players. He said they're going to be forced to watch so much game film, and they are going to be running stairs, and they're going to be absolutely petrified, horrified, mortified about the results when you lose a game like that. But then again, I don't give much credence right now. I'm angry to our coaching staff, so they might not discipline them well enough, but that's what I think is going to happen. He's absolutely right. 10 hours of game film, absolutely. And that's what my buddy said. He said, when we lost, we would literally have to watch so much game film, it made your head spin. So, yeah, I'll go with that.
Okay. Next up, this T-Bodie, you're going to take first, and then Norm, you'll take this follow-up. How do you think this impacts stuff like NIL? Like, T-Bodie, if you're a T-Bodie car and emporium, and you've got half the offensive line coming in and humping autographs on weekends, how are you feeling about that this coming weekend? You inviting the guys in to do autographs or not?
You know, from what I understand, the guys at Iowa are kind of sharing anything that they're getting involved with. So, you know, or he's sharing it with everybody. So I don't know of any of the big contracts that are going on. So I guess how does it affect it? I don't think it changes anything. It's one. And I don't know if anyone that really had Iowa picked to win, go undefeated this year. So, you know, we shit our pants and we move on.
Okay. Norm, how about you? If you think this has an effect on those, you know, because you've seen guys that are doing the name, image, and likeness stuff. You think this has an effect on it?
So help me repeat the question, if you would, please.
Okay, sorry. The name, image, and likeness that's up now, you know, where players are getting these promotional deals and stuff.
Sure.
You think that a game like this has an effect on it? You think there are small businesses that are thinking twice? Do you think some of the players are wondering if maybe they're paying too much attention?
You know, that's a good question. It's awfully hard to say. I don't know if I really have a strong opinion on that one, but it is tough to say. I mean, I'm sure it does to some degree.
Okay. Well, you're first up on the next question. Right now, who are your four teams to make the college football playoff? I know it'll change, but right now.
Right now, Cincy doesn't have to play anybody, so you got to count them in. Oklahoma, I'd say Georgia for sure. The fourth one, is it Ohio State? Is it Alabama? You know, it's hard to not include one of those big names.
Right. Okay. Brother Tommy, you're four.
You guys remember the movie Tora, 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 where they said...
Are you taking Notre Dame?
No. Let me finish. When in Tora, 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 he said, I think all we managed to do is wake up a sleeping giant. When Nick Saban, who's the best coach in college football, second place ain't even close. Anyone wants to argue with me, you're full of shit. Nick Saban's you talk about riding these motherfuckers. I'm not supposed to use that word. He's going to be riding these guys. So Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and unfortunately Cincinnati. Those are the four teams that are going to be in.
Okay. T-Bodie, you're four.
Who was Tom's again?
Alabama, Georgia.
Alabama, Georgia, Cincinnati, Ohio State.
That, you know what? That's right where I'm at. That's why I was questioning it. But I think that Alabama definitely gets it over Oklahoma. And those are my four as well. I don't think you can go against Cincinnati because, like Norm said, they don't play them.
Yeah, they got no competition. They got no competition.
Indy, who are your four? Indy, who are your four?
Same exact four: the Georgia, Alabama, OSU, or the class probably. Cincinnati doesn't play anybody, so I think that's the four.
Okay. Well, I mean, I
pretty
would throw
much
this
a
no out.
Brainer. I think right now
I would
can
throw this
that
out though. I would throw this out though. Ohio State's probably got the toughest road of those four. Of the four, that Oklahoma, maybe. You know, Oklahoma, it
Oklahoma.
Seems to have righted things.
You guys think Oklahoma,
no, I'm saying they, I'm
you're
saying
fucking
they think
out
they
of your minds.
To, but they seem to have righted things with a new quarterback change. Cincinnati
oh,
doesn't
geez.
Play anyone, but they'll pay for it. You know, one loss and they are out no matter what. But Ohio State, I think, may have the toughest road because, you know, Penn State, Michigan,
but
and Michigan
State.
They
put State, a defense together. They put a
yeah.
defense together.
But then anything
and
can happen.
Ohio State with the defense is unbeatable almost.
Yeah, true.
Sorry.
But
I interrupted. I'm sorry.
No, but the other thing I think about is Alabama. I mean, for Alabama to make it, you're pretty much saying Georgia has a loss, that they lose to them in they lose to Alabama in the SEC championship game.
Nick
so if
Saban's
that happens,
Nick Saban's
no, but
not
what
losing
saying,
again this
if that,
year.
If that happens, and Ohio State's in and Cincinnati's in, how do you seed it? I mean, Cincinnati would be the only undefeated. Do you think the playoff committee seeds them first?
They're ranked number two right now, so Alabama beats Georgia. Think about the mathematics. Alabama beats Georgia. Of course Cincinnati's going to be the one seed. But, I mean, that's just obvious. That's just...
That's where I disagree. So I think the committee has got a grid. You know, they've got their bracket drawn up with SEC number one on the bottom line and SEC number two on the three or four line. But anyway, okay, guys, we're going to our picks. Last week, brother Tommy was 5-5. Mike, who's not here with us this week, was 6-4. I was 6-4 betting for Indy, and T. Bodie was 5-5. So.
You two beat you and Mike beat me. That's freaking unbelievable. But all right, go on.
Somebody saying something?
Yeah, I am. Hank, this is T. Bodie. You had Tom at what? Because I have him
5-4. I have him 5-5. But I've already erased it off. I only put up the results.
Well, let's go with T. Bodie. Those are better numbers
okay,
for me.
So
I'm going to go with T. Bodie's numbers.
Anyway.
I am at 6-4. And then also for the year, going on the 3 weeks that I've been counting, Hank, you're leading at 70% win percentage in India at 69.2%, followed by the rest of us.
I'm not
because
really
the other
leading.
Pussies, the other pussies never pick upsets. That's why.
Well, if you're talking about percentages and I'm winning, hey, you know, I'm
oh,
like.
Oh yeah,
you
take the favorite every game.
No,
oh, that's
I'm like
brave.
I'm like the Martin
try
Mull
that,
character.
Try that approach in Vegas. You'll be
no,
decimated.
I'm the Martin Mull character in Mr. Mom who wins the Richardson Olympics because everybody lets him win every year.
No, that's a great it. One. That's a great
I
one.
I did it. I really did it. Okay.
Hank, you just want to drop these other guys off and just you and I do this? It's up to you. It's your show.
Okay. For the record,
brother
you got to play more than 1 week to
count.
Just
so
you guys
pick...
know, if you haven't guessed right yet, and I know, Hank, you got the show up in a second, I am still soon to get over, but I am still suffering from what I call Hawkeye hangover. I'm just so... And that's why I'm not talking rational to you guys and all of that. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, the implication being that other weeks you're rational. Okay, we'll buy that. So, okay.
Oh, you know what? Oh, wait. I got a quick interjection. You just pissed me off. I was the one who told you motherfuckers last week that Purdue was probably going to beat us. I told you guys that, and you're like, no. Well,
we're so much better. I'm like, this is the biggest crap game I've ever seen in my life. And you guys dismiss me, so don't
say
So
why are you bitching then? So why are you disgusted? You should be, like, trumpeting what a guru you are. So
because you just got done telling me I wasn't in first place.
Well, but why are you so unhappy? You picked Purdue to win, so you should be thrilled.
I didn't
anyway,
pick them literally. I said Iowa, but I said you guys are freaking.
We got more than 10 games this week. I think I got 12.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, so you're first up, Brother Tommy. Coastal Carolina at Appalachian State.
Appalachian State, no brainer.
Okay, T. Bodie.
It's an upset pick, as you know, but it's
T. Bodie.
You know what? I'm tired of going with upsets because I keep losing. I'm going to take Coastal Carolina.
Okay. Norm.
Okay,
who the
you
hell is this Norm guy?
Don't worry about it.
You put me on the spot here. Why don't I just sit back and listen to you guys go at it?
Okay, then I'll pick for this one.
I'm going to pick
Appalachian State as well. Game is in their house. Boone, North Carolina.
Who the hell is this Norm guy? Can you elaborate on that?
He's from the same town as the others, as Mike, T. Bodie, and Indy Hawk. He's a 49er.
Yeah,
he was one of
though,
the
right?
one of the doghouse mates.
I'm a Hawkeye alum with two daughters.
Oh, really? I did not know that. Okay, that's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. I'm being literal. I'm not like trying to be cute and clever. I'm just like, who is this guy? Okay, cool.
Okay,
Indy, I'm Brother Tommy.
Indy, you're up.
Coastal and wins it easy.
Okay, cool. And T. Bodie, you're up next. Northwestern at Michigan.
Well, Michigan.
Okay.
They're in a roll.
Okay. I'm going to go Michigan as well for Mike. Indy, how about you?
Michigan, easy.
Brother Tommy?
You got to go Michigan. However, that being said, it's kind of the Purdue thing. If I were really brave, which I'm not, I would say Northwestern. But I'm going with Michigan. So write that down.
Okay. So I'm going first on this next one. Illinois at Penn State. I got to go Penn State. And, frankly, I don't mind seeing Bielema lose. So, Andy, how about you on Illinois at Penn State?
Well, the quarterback is hurt. If Clifford's out, that number two dude is absolutely awful. But I heard that Clifford's practicing, so I'm assuming he's going to play. So I'm going Penn State.
Brother Tommy.
I'm going to really lose this week. But I, as everyone knows, this year I've had a hard-on for Illinois. I'm going to go Illinois, but I'm doing against my better judgment. But I'm going Illinois.
Okay, T. Bodie.
I say Illinois covers the spread, but Penn State's going to win that game.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably the better way of putting it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Indy, you're first up on this one, and this is a good game. Wake Forest at Army.
Wake Forest.
Ooh. Brother Tommy.
Yeah. That's coin toss. I'm going to go Army. But I think the smart money is probably on Wake Forest. But I'm going to go Army.
Nope. Military's under Biden now, just FYI.
Oh, good point.
I forgot about that. I changed my mind. I don't like that motherfucker.
So you're going to go with Wake?
I'm not allowed to say that. Hank told me I'm not allowed to use
Are you back
that.
With, so, Brother Tommy, are you back with Wake or are you staying with Army?
No, I'm going. I'm still staying. Very valid point as to who runs the Army now. But I'm still going with Army. It's going to be an upset.
T. Bodie.
Wake Forest.
Wake.
No comment.
They're not allowed. My wife is asking, what about all the other listeners? If I let everybody and their mother make a pick, it would be tragic. It'd be hectic. I'm going to go Army as well. I'm going to join Brother Tommy. I think Wake gets woke this week.
Ooh, nice phraseology.
I know. I thought
nice
so.
Nice phraseology.
You know, Army won't leave early.
Oh, my.
Okay. Brother Tommy, you're starting off on this one. Oregon at UCLA.
UCLA.
Really? T. Bodie,
yep.
How about you?
UCLA is favored in that game. And I'm going to take Oregon.
You're going to take Oregon? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm up. I'm going to go Oregon as well. I think UCLA's been exposed. Indy, how about you?
So has Oregon. So has Oregon, just so you know that. But I'll go ahead. I interrupted. My bad.
I'm going UCLA. Oregon had the big upset, but since then they have not been good.
Very correct. That's the right way to look at it. Yep.
Okay. You started out. Okay, so T-Bow, you're up on this one. LSU at Ole Miss.
I'll stay with the favorite on that one. We'll stay with Mississippi.
Okay. I am going to agree with that one. I think LSU, although they had the big win over Florida, I think Orgeron being gone, I think that he's going to phone it in the rest of the year. So undisciplined teams don't win in the SEC. So how about you, Andy?
I think Orgeron's going to have his girlfriend's kids at this one. I'm going to take them.
That's pretty good, I got to admit. Brother Tommy, you're up.
I actually agree with you, Hank. I think he phones it in. They blew their load against Florida, and, I go with this, Ole Miss.
Okay.
Hey, who did Indy take?
Indy took LSU. He said Orgeron's kids are going to be there.
I heard the comments, and I missed the – okay.
Yeah, they're going to – okay, I'm up first on this next one. Clemson at
– Can I quickly interject really quickly?
One more time.
Last time. It's a quick reference. What the fuck does that mean? Does Orgeron have illegitimate kids I'm not aware of? I don't even know. I'm being serious.
It's the South, man.
One of the reasons he got fired, I saw an article that he was bringing girlfriend's kids to the games on the sideline. I don't know if he's married or not. But
That's fucking classic.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, my God.
You can't
great
make
joke.
It up.
I got to use that one for people, football aficionados. That's a great joke. I'm going to steal it. I ain't giving you credit. I'm going to steal it.
I'm next up on this one, guys. This is the tough one. I'm up on this one. Clemson at Pitt. I hate being first on this one, but I'm going to take Pitt because I know they're probably favored, but
they are.
Indy, how about you?
Still. This is a tough one. I'm going to go Clemson because of their defense. Now Pitt, they're pretty good, but Clemson's got to have their defense is good. They've had some. You know, their defense is really good. So it's one of the best defenses, but they've had some cheap touchdowns scored against them. So, anyway, I'm going Clemson. Probably
okay.
Wrong.
Brother Tommy?
Toughest pick of the day, but when in doubt, go with the home team. I'm going Pitt.
T. Bowdy?
Yeah, I don't think that's such a tough pick. I've got Pittsburgh, and I think they'll cover.
Okay, and next one up, where's Ohio State playing? I just knocked something off of my screen, so I'm missing it.
Indiana.
Ohio State at Indiana. Who picked first? Oh, I did. So, Indy, you're up. Ohio State at Indiana.
Ohio State.
Tommy?
I got because I prophesized Ohio State going to the CFP, but this
that's
could be
right.
A potential upset game, but I got to go Ohio State.
T. Bowden.
Ohio State.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's one, you know, as much as we were disappointed with our loss, Indiana's got to be more disappointed than anybody with how their season's coming out. I mean, they're just I don't get it.
The way they were so honked up. They were so honked up. Oh, God, they got to be disappointed. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Who started that? Indy started that. So, Brother Tommy, you're up on this one. USC at Notre Dame. Now, here's a little backstory on this. This series, this tells you how some of these conferences are. That contractually, that game, when it's at Notre Dame, has to be played before October 31st. I didn't know that until I read that. So USC is another one, like the SEC. They'll never play in Iowa City or Minnesota in November. So,
yeah.
That
answer,
said, who's your pick?
The answer is USC, and I'm doing upsets this week. Next week you're going to remind us who wins shellac, but I'm going USC.
T. Bodie.
Yeah, Notre Dame. I think they're home for that game.
You're going Notre Dame. I'm going to go with Brother Tommy on this one. I'm going to go USC. I think Notre Dame has like
shot
their
wad.
Yeah, they've just had too much luck for a while. So, how about you, Andy?
This is a tough one. I'm going to go Notre Dame. They overcome a Pat Hayden to Lynn Swan late touchdown. Theismann takes them down the field, and they win late.
Okay, we've officially gone off the rails, but hey, you know what the heck. Okay, where's it? I hit this. Where the hell? Oh, Cincinnati at Navy. T-Bodie, you're up.
That's a game.
Yeah, Cincinnati at Navy.
Yeah. Funny, that was a good joke too.
Yeah, you know, Cincinnati. I can't pick that upset.
Yeah, I mean, Navy's got one win, exactly one win over UCF, believe it or not. After UCF lost their quarterback, I'm going to go with Cincy. Indy.
I'm going Cincy over the Joe Biden led Navy.
Okay, and Brother Tommy.
I love that, over the Joe Biden left Navy. You guys are cracking me up tonight. Cincy.
Okay, and here's our game of the week, although I'm not sure how we tie-break this, and I'm not sure anybody really cares. It's a Big 12 game. It's the team that we pretend that we hate, even though most of us probably don't hate them. It features our Iowa State Cyclones hosting the undefeated number 8 ranked Oklahoma State.
Hey, Hank?
Yeah.
Are you not going to make us pick Wisconsin-Purdue?
Oh, that's the other one. I erased some stuff off my thing, and that's the other one. Okay, Wisconsin, that's at Purdue, correct?
Yes.
Okay, Brother Tommy, you're going to pick first for the next couple rounds, only because I'm trying to keep things in order on my thing.
That's fine. Which game are we on, though? I don't
first,
mind.
Okay, Wisconsin at Purdue.
Wisconsin. Purdue's going to bounce so big. One of the guys was saying they want to bet some money and make a lot of money. Bet on Wisconsin. Trust me on that one. Take the money line.
Okay. T. Bodie.
Yeah. Yeah, Purdue's probably got their head in the clouds, but it's at Purdue, you know, coming home after that big win. I don't know.
I mean, other than that bastardization of the game at Notre Dame, against Notre Dame, Wisconsin's defense has not been bad.
You know what? Neither is Purdue. Purdue's still in the top 10 of defenses. They're, you know, defenses by statistics in the country too, and knocked off the team in the country last week. I'm taking Purdue.
Okay. Well, I'm only because I feel like I have to. I'm going to pick Wisconsin because I mean mainly because we need them to, but also because we still have them on our schedule. So I'm not being rational about this. I'm just picking the team that I want to win, I guess. Indy, you're up.
Wisconsin showed some weakness against Penn State, Notre Dame, Michigan against the Pac, so I like Purdue in this one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did. They did get. I forgot about the Wisconsin or the Michigan.
You guys are out of your
abuse.
Fucking mind. All right, you're out of your fucking minds. But that's okay. That's your entitlement.
Okay, Brother Tommy, Iowa State at Oklahoma State, number 8 undefeated
Iowa
Oklahoma
State.
Iowa
State is not losing again this year.
Well, that's right. They're in the playoffs.
I hate to say it. Yeah, I Iowa State, and I'm sure I'm going to be Iowa State. Period.
Okay. T. Bodie.
It's in Ames.
No, it's in Stillwater. Isn't that where Oklahoma State is? Stillwater.
Yes.
I think it's, isn't it at Iowa State?
I'm looking in the on the scores listing, and it's showing. Oh, you're right. It is at Iowa State.
I
oh
think
my
he's
gosh.
Right. Yes, it's Iowa
he's
State.
Right.
That's because I looked earlier today really quickly. It's yes, it's in Ames. You guys are wrong. It's in or one of them.
Hank's wrong. Hank's
wrong.
It was just Hank that's wrong.
Yes. Yes. All right. My bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope Oklahoma State wins that game, but I'm going to root for Iowa State because that's going to pick.
Okay, now why? I don't get it. Why do you hope Oklahoma State wins?
You know what? If it weren't for Iowa losing last week, I wouldn't care. And I'm a big, you know, I like Iowa State when they're not playing Iowa. But you know, you're living around the Iowa State fan. They're a little out of control when we lose, and they need to feel a little pain.
That's an interesting perspective. Hawkeye Mike says that the Iowa State fans can be obnoxious. I did not know that. I did not know
that. Oh yeah.
Yeah, and they
interesting.
But you know,
leading up
I mean,
to this
I know
year's
the
game, they
purpose
were brutal.
Would have been little brother syndrome, but I did not know that they were obnoxious. Hawkeye Mike has said that a few times over the
last
few weeks.
They're one of those fan bases that takes delight in other teams losing, even if they suck. I mean, they have always been like
that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. Yeah,
Indy, how about you?
Consistent all year. I'm going Oklahoma State, and it's a big game. Iowa needs to have. For Iowa to take the next step, we got to have Iowa State, just because of recruiting. It's all about recruiting. Iowa State needs to be down, Minnesota, Wisconsin. Those are the big three for us recruiting-wise. But, I mean, I've been on, you guys know, I've been against Iowa State all year and pretty accurate. So I think Oklahoma State wins there pretty easily.
Okay.
Bielema at University of Illinois is putting – going to be putting a hurt on our recruiting too, so you can add him to the
yeah,
list.
But he's already lost people to him.
He's
already had two decommits now too.
Okay, you'll see.
So,
okay,
so you know,
Nebraska,
I just
the other one.
Yeah, and Nebraska's off this week. Michigan and Michigan State are off this week. Yeah, so it's kind of a you know we're off obviously.
Hank,
what? I'm sorry.
Who do you have in that game?
I've got Iowa State. I think for several reasons. One, it's in their house, although we went in there
and
beat them.
How is Michigan off this week when we just got done talking about Michigan? How are they off?
Oh, I'm sorry. They're playing Northwestern. Yes. Michigan State's off this week. I'm sorry. Michigan State's
okay,
off
you said Michigan and Michigan State.
No,
okay.
No, I meant
just correct
Michigan,
you.
Michigan State, Minnesota, Iowa. I'm trying to think who else. There's how many games are there? There's one, two, three.
Is Nebraska playing this week? Probably
no, they are
Nebraska's
not.
Nebraska's your other one. Yeah, that's your other one. There you go. That's four teams off.
Yeah.
This is a mathematical precision.
Well, last week what happened is that Wisconsin had a non-conference game, so that's why there were only nine teams
correct
playing last week. So.
Correct. Yep.
So, well, you know, I think here's the thing, and the Iowa State, you know, Indy's right. We need to, if we're recruiting against them, that's until Matt Campbell gets leaves for greener pastures. But the other thing is, though, if let's pretend we win out. I know that's a kind of a funny thing, especially if we were to have to play Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game.
A little comical thing.
I know. But I'm saying
funny's
if we
not
were
a
gonna,
strong enough word.
Yeah.
Play along, Tommy. Play along.
No,
I'm
but
sorry,
if we, you know, we need Indiana and. In Iowa State, and frankly, we need you know Colorado State and Kent State. It doesn't really matter what they do with their seasons because they're in you know non-power five conferences. But we need you know Maryland to do well. We need Maryland's not playing this week either. That's the other one. So, but we need
is Rutgers playing this week. Is Rutgers playing
no,
this week?
No, they are not.
Maryland plays Minnesota this week.
Oh, they do play. Gosh, why am I missing that? Oh, you know why? Because I was looking for I was looking under the ranked. So, well, may as well get picks on those. So, let's go Maryland, Minnesota. Brother Tommy.
Need to know where the game is.
It's at Minnesota.
One of the guys, I think it was T. Bodie, that said Minnesota is such a neurotic team, and he's absolutely right. So this week, which way do they go? It's at Minnesota. I'm going to still go with Minnesota. Minnesota.
Okay, T. Bodie.
I don't have a gut feeling on this one because Maryland, you know, played sporadic too. You're right about that, Tom. But
you were the
Minnesota,
one who said it originally, not me.
They came up with a win at with Nebraska. Maybe PJ Flex got them flexing. I'll take Minnesota at home.
Okay. I'll let me make a comment before I make my pick. Much as you can, you know, Maryland or Minnesota got a, first of all, they got a win over Purdue at Purdue. So, you know, shame on us,
yeah.
But, their win over Nebraska was, you know, it's classic Nebraska. What is, or should I say what has become classic Nebraska? I mean, it's the Nebraska for the 20, it's the Nebraska for the 2000s where, I mean, they could be on the goal line first and goal. They would figure out a way to throw a pick six without even – I mean, it's just – it's unbelievable. If you saw what Taylor Martin – or Adrian Martinez did last week, they got – they were down, I think, five. He got caught behind the line of scrimmage. He got – he was sort of being pulled into the end zone, and he wasn't there yet. I mean, he eventually was. But he just chucked the ball, like, unbelievably. I mean, you know, so it was an intentional grounding which happened in the end zone, so it was a safety. But, I mean, literally, I'm convinced that either it's Scott Frost or it's just karma, but they're as undisciplined as Wisconsin has looked at times. And, you know, so even if we beat Nebraska, and I'm not sure we will, but if, you know, the way we looked last week, but even beating Nebraska, it's just not what it used to be. Nebraska is undisciplined. I mean, he can't keep players there. I mean, Oliver Martin
gets his job. Frost does not.
Oliver Martin, who couldn't get
Martin
couldn't get on the field at Michigan. He couldn't get on the field at Iowa, and he is, you know, Nebraska's sort of their go-to wide receiver. I just think, I think Nebraska is just a shell of its heyday, and so we shouldn't
be a perennial contender. And now they're lucky to get six wins. So by definition,
in this game, on the other side of that, Maryland was looking all world. We were worried about our game going into Maryland on a Friday night. We abused them. Ohio State did the same thing. I think they were a pretender. We just didn't know it. So I'm going with Minnesota as well. Indy.
Just FYI, saw a note on Frost. He's 5-17 in games in one possession games. So I think the key is to let him get within a touchdown in India. But
that's good.
What game are we on?
Minnesota, Maryland at Minnesota.
Oh.
I think Andy's had a couple of cocktails, it sounds like.
just starting one second. I'm going to go Minnesota, despite the dumbest tagline I've ever heard in my life. They're going to row the boat.
Row the boat. Give me a fucking break on that one. I could not agree more. I'll shut up, but I could not agree more. I'm giving you validation there. All right. I'm shutting up, Hank.
Guess what? Calling out the stupidity of row the boat does not even require validation from a second party. I mean, anybody outside of the state of Minnesota pretty much knows how idiotic that is. That said, PJ Flex not as bad a guy as I've sometimes made him out to be. I think he's probably
a great guy, a bad coach. A great guy, a bad coach.
I'm about bad
I will
coach
stick to that.
Yeah. So
he's
anyway,
a bad coach.
Since
he's
somebody
a bad
mentioned.
Coach.
Somebody mentioned
Sorry,
cocktails.
He's a bad coach.
Okay.
Prove
Somebody
me
mentioned cocktails. Okay, enough. Somebody mentioned cocktails, and so I'm going to have to mention here. Somebody posted something on Facebook, and my wife pointed out Yingling Hershey's Chocolate Porter. So I happened to pick up a six box, and my wife just cracked one open for me. So I've been enjoying the last couple picks with a Hershey's chocolate porter from Yingling. So I'm not normally one to tout beverage brands on this show, but for this one time, I'm going to Yingling Hershey's chocolate porter. I highly recommend it.
And I'll tell you why I won't drink it. I'll tell you why I won't drink it.
I have no idea
I'm
what
that
is.
Yeah, I'll tell you why I won't. Other than that, I would drink it.
What are other comments on this? Come on, let's hear some other comments.
Hey, what is it?
I will get it if that's at the bar that Norm and I are going to go and meet up at. I happen to be in the great town of Algona this week. Algona, Iowa, and we're going to hook up for dinner.
Something tells me Yingling hasn't made it to Algona, Iowa yet.
It probably has based on what they've had at the other establishments I've visited this week, but
let me just say this, though. Enjoy your PBR. Enjoy your PBR, okay?
Key West and Fire Island. Translation, once again, faggot beer. Okay, go on. I'm sorry.
It's actually not.
I've got to be
a really
obnoxious just to keep the laughs up.
It's a good beer. It's not Rolling Rock, which is the best
bullshit
around, according to Robert.
Bullshit. You want to put sweet shit in your beer? Bullshit. Come on.
Okay. Anyway.
Hey, you and I are biological brothers, and your father is rolling in his grave right now thinking that you would drink that swill. Okay.
What, Rolling Rock? Rolling
no.
Rock?
No. Oh, I didn't mean Rolling Rock. I meant when Dad hated it when people would put sweet stuff in their alcohol. He's like, that violates the principle of alcohol. And Dad's absolutely right. And I'm the biggest card-carrying alcoholic of this whole group, times 10. So you know I'm right.
Okay. All right, okay. Good enough. Okay, so guys, I'm going to put you all on the spot. Since most of you are not going to be watching football, let's just take that for the lies that each of you have told. What's the one game you are going to watch? T. Bodie.
I already said I like that Purdue-Wisconsin game, assuming it's on TV somewhere.
Brother Tommy.
It's not on ABC.
Yeah, my answer is real simple. I said it earlier. I'm not watching games, and I'm being totally fucking serious. I'm not watching games. I've still got Hawkeye hangover. I'm not watching games. Sorry.
Okay, Norm, are you going to watch a game this weekend, even though you say you're not?
You know, I don't think there's a big enough game to watch. I'm going to be pretty busy doing some other things, but yeah, we'll see.
And Indy, if you have to watch one game, what's it going to be?
I'd watch Oklahoma State, Iowa State, just for the enjoyment.
That's actually the only one that might be palatable.
I'm almost afraid to find out what happens in the Wisconsin Purdue game. I guess is the other thing. So, I guess Iowa State, Oklahoma State would be the one. So,
that
good
would
enough.
Be the one, yes, I take
okay,
it back.
Guys. Okay, guys. Hey, we're coming up on it. Thanks, y'all, for being here. Norm, first timer on the show. Norm, former honorary dog. I don't think he ever actually lived in the doghouse, but he did throw us a former roommate into the doghouse, though, if I remember correctly. So, if I remember correctly, Norm was responsible for the bone. Norm was responsible for the bone landing in the doghouse. If I'm correct,
and he's certainly one of the five or six honorary doghouse. Like yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Know? Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt. So, okay, guys. But thanks to Norm. Thanks to Brother Tommy and T. Bodie and Indy Hawk for being here. Thanks to others that were listening in. I think Big Sister was on there as well, listening in.
Hey, man.
It's been
What's your final four?
My final score? Or my final four?
Final four. CFP.
Okay, I'm going to go Georgia, Ohio State, Cincinnati, and Alabama. Yeah, let's just go with the chalk.
Rip off Brother Tommy's stuff. That's what I said. You all.
I just don't see a Big 12 team making it out of there. I mean, Oklahoma
no
maybe with
way.
His quarterback.
No fucking
well,
way.
May,
a Big
I'm
12
saying
team
maybe
makes
with
no
their maybe
way.
With their quarterback change, things have changed. But you know, between Oklahoma State, Kansas State, and Iowa State, I think they get tripped up somewhere. That's just my feeling. So
twice actually, they get tripped up twice. Oklahoma State and Iowa State. You want to know the
well, you know, Oklahoma's one of the ones, maybe not so much like Alabama or Georgia, but Oklahoma's kind of got to lose two games before you can say they're eliminated. I mean, they've sort of benefited from, you know, things that have
yeah.
happened.
Don't give
and
up
made
50
it in
points
there.
A game. I don't care if you hit 55 points a game. Don't give up 50 points a game and think you're going to make it. I just hate the concept of people thinking that Oklahoma, okay.
I'm
there
just
again.
Saying they could, but I mean, I don't think a Big 12 team makes it this year. But if they do, it's gonna be Oklahoma. It's not gonna be Oklahoma. I mean, if Oklahoma State should go undefeated, but guess what? I don't really see that happening. I mean, frankly, I don't
necessarily
see them beating. I mean, I'm not sure that you're correct when you say, well, Iowa State's not losing for the rest of the season, but. I'm just not sure that Oklahoma State is really equipped to go through the season undefeated either. So.
And I'll just quickly say, I know you got to get out. I'll quickly say, I do apologize to the show for my cynicism, but I am, like I said, suffering from Hawkeye hangover, and that's why I was maybe so cynical today. But, I disagree with you on the Oklahoma State or Oklahoma concept, but,
I'm just saying, if a Big 12 team is going to make it, it's Oklahoma. But I mean,
there's
frankly,
not going to be one. There's not going to be one. Do the math. There's going to be two SEC teams. Do the math. There's going
to
be.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. Cincinnati has to go. I think they have to go to Southern Miss or Southern Methodist. I could be wrong on that one. I just, you know, they're going to play. They could be playing a team for the second time in their championship. Again, that applies to everyone. But do Alabama and Georgia play during the regular season this year? Anybody know?
No, they do not. They will play in the championship game.
Okay. See, you know, let's pretend Iowa makes it to Indianapolis, in which case we are all crashing at Indy's house, by the way.
I'm doing the cell phone with.
Are we talking garage, or are we talking, like, living room floor, or what are we talking here?
No, you're talking the show will be done from the Indy Hawk man cave, and then, yeah, we'll figure out the arrangements.
Okay. Well, we just got to make sure. No, I'm just wondering, you know, okay. So, I mean, a garage floor would work even as well. So, but, I mean, you know, let's pretend that we make it to Indianapolis with one loss. You know, Iowa State or Ohio State would be nearly impossible. Penn State beating them a second time, tough. But, you know, from what I've seen of Michigan State, I'm not sure we want to play them because the way our defense looked last weekend, do you really see us holding Michigan State down? That running back is insane. Their quarterback
is I'm going to give you the bad news right now. We are probably not going to win more than one more game. We're not going to Indianapolis.
Okay.
Crash and
like
burn.
Now you guys understand why I said in the chat the other day I might have to mute Brother Tommy.
Oh, you want me to talk
record,
nonsense?
But...
Yeah,
no,
we're going to win the national championship. Is that better?
No, let's talk about that for a second. You know, it was a crappy loss. We looked like crap. But how long ago was it that people were thinking we were going to start 0-2? There were an appreciable number of people that thought we were not going to beat Indiana.
And I was
and
one of them.
Yeah, so... You know, this whole thing of, we've totally blown it. I mean, somebody on Hawkeye Report said, this was the year that we were set up to win the national championship. And it's like, really? I mean, all I remembered reading in August was, man, our lines don't look, you know, don't have much experience. Not sure that they're proven. Well, guess what? They're not proven. And so guess what? We have a loss in Game 7. So pretty simple.
Well, yeah, but we just realized. The old saying, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And we were exposed. And let me tell you something else real quick. These coaches call each other, and they're going to say, hey, Brom, what's the secret? You've beaten Iowa 4 out of the last 5 years. And I won't go into the detail as to how he did it. I know how he did it, but I know you're on a time constraint. But these people are like, aha. Now they know how to beat Iowa, and it's very,
well. Guess
very
who else knows?
Cool.
Guess
and
who else?
We all know it.
Purdue. They don't run the exact same. They don't run the exact same scheme, but basically Purdue and Northwestern have Phil Parker figured out. Have our defense figured out. Because Northwestern does
what?
It with more dink and dumb.
Going to beat us. You just hit the nail on the head. Northwestern's going to beat us. I said it here first.
No.
Disagree.
I pray to God I'm wrong, but Fitzgerald has our number. Fitzgerald hates us.
I just disagree. I think that it's an aberration. I think that just like Purdue has our number, guess what? We've got Nebraska's number. We've got Minnesota's number. You know, we'll take down Northwestern.
The problem with that theory is the last 20 years, everyone's had Nebraska's numbers and Minnesota's numbers.
Yeah.
Sorry to be cynical, but they both are lucky to get 6 wins. Okay, Minnesota during COVID year before.
Indy, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I just want I was asking for credit for picking the Hawks to go 8-4 from the beginning and beating Iowa State and Indiana and then going 8-4.
Oh. Can I quickly chime in, Hank?
No,
you can't. Vito. Yes, I can. Vito, I gave him credit for what he said about Jimbo Fisher. I meant to say about Indy, because I was thinking about this. He said it 3 weeks ago, and I thought he was full of shit. And he said 8-4 at best, 7-5 probably. And you know what? He ended up being absolutely right. And Brother Tommy will give credit when credit's due. And Indy is right.
One right.
Did he call it? He did call it.
So,
if we
make it to the championship, will we still be allowed to stay there since we're not 8-4 or not? What's the deal?
Yeah, you'll be here.
Okay.
Oh, we'll be partying
okay.
for sure. I'd
okay.
love to be wrong.
Okay.
But here, when we beat Maryland, we had no sacks and no hurries, but the defense played great. The secondary, that red flag there. Then we play Penn State, and I mean, that's number two quarterback. Was horrendous. There's no way we win that game if he doesn't go down. And
Zeke,
that
I gotta
offense,
go.
Okay,
that
go ahead.
Offense
Thank
was
you.
Three no. long drives against us like knife through butter. So we had some.
And he's on my level.
Play.
He called it. He called it. He's on my level, and I agree with that 100%. What he just said. He's on my level.
Okay, guys, thanks for being here again. T. Bodie, Indy Hawk, Brother Tommy, and Norm. Thanks to Big Sister for listening in, and thank God for the idle off week for the Hawkeyes. Y'all have a good night. Have a great
show,
week.
Guys. Great show.
Have a great
we
week.
Ain't
Be
losing.
Safe, and let's go Wisconsin this weekend,
and
believe
also,
it or not.
Also, Hank, quickly throw in, tell this Norm character to keep calling in because I like the cut of his jib, and we could use another voice.
Okay, cool. We'll talk to you guys next week. Later, guys.
You got
Good
it.
Show.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, be safe. Be vigilant. Don't put up with the crap we're starting to put up with in our government and in our society. Be loud. Have a good week.
Amen. All right, later.
See ya.